Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or are simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. May you be inspired by the word today.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning, KCC. How are you this morning? So good to see you. Are you excited about what the Holy Spirit is doing in this place? Isn't it awesome? I know Pastor Curtis already celebrated last Sunday. I don't know about you, but I am still on a Holy Spirit high from how he moved so powerfully last week. Am I alone? Is there anybody out there still just stuck floating on the Holy Spirit? Amen. Amen. My prayer all week has been, Lord, keep doing it. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. I think it's okay to be great, greedy with the Lord, that when he does something wonderful in our lives, we can say, keep doing it, Lord. Do it again. Is that your prayer? Can you just say that with me? Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Do it again. That is my prayer for this morning. Well, if you've been here before when I'm preaching, then you are familiar with the cute young lady standing next to me, my 11-year-old Lindley Bell, and she is going to help with the reading of our text for today. So if you have your Bible, as Lindley does, then pull it out or grab your device and go to Acts chapter 3. We're on a series called The Unstoppable Force, The Church, and we are preaching our way and studying our way through the book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostle, and we are now at Acts chapter 3. And so for our text today, we're going to start with verse 1, and although it might say in your sermon notes we're going to read to verse 9, we're actually going to stop at verse 8, all right? As is the tradition here, I invite you, if you're able, to stand for the reading of the Word. Even those of you who are online, you are not in this room with us, but your hearts and your spirits are with us. So I invite you, if you're able, to stand as well. And let's go to the Word of God. It reads thusly, starting in verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Verse 2.
Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going into the temple courts.
When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Verse 4.
Peter looked straight at him, and did John. They said, look at us.
So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Verse 6.
Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but I have do I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.
Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. In verse 8.
He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God.
And we'll stop right there. May the Lord bless the reading, the hearing, and the Holy Spirit empower the doing of his holy word. Before you take your seat, let's just go before the Lord in a word of prayer of unity. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to hear from you. We sit now at your feet, and we ask that you feed us till we want no more. Father, I hide myself behind the cross, and I ask, Lord, what is in your heart and what is in your will go forth through me to us. And Father, I invite you to unleash your Holy Spirit in this place and do exactly what it is that you want to do. My expectation is that your word will go forth, the yoke will be broken, that signs and wonders will follow, and it will accomplish that for which you sent it. I pray this in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. And if you are in agreement with me, will you say amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. You may have your seat. Get comfortable. You might want to buckle up. Are y'all ready? Are you ready? Can you tell by that text? I don't think the Lord is playing with us right now. So let's get ready and see what the Lord is going to do. Before I get started in the sermon, I want to just remind everyone that this Friday, May 25th, is our night of prayer. As you know, we do a Friday evening corporate prayer service together once a month, and it's this Friday. I encourage you to come out for prayer. If you want change in your life, if you need breakthrough, or you're standing in agreement with someone in your life, the answer is prayer. We pray from 7 p.m. to about 8:30. It's not long, so you can still make your movie, make your dinner, make your whatever it is that you want to do on your Friday night, but let's start it with prayer, okay? So I invite you here on this Friday at 7 p.m. God has been showing up in a mighty and powerful way, and I don't want you to miss out. And matter of fact, bring a friend with you. Amen? Amen. So let's eat. We see in chapter 3 that Peter and John has encountered a certain man, but before we unpack those verses that we just read, let me just quickly remind you that, of course, in chapter 1, Pastor Mick preached powerfully about receiving Jesus and the work of the cross and salvation, and we had a number of people that came and made first-time decisions to invite Jesus in their heart as Lord and Savior. And then, of course, last week, as Pastor Mick preached through chapter 2, it was the dwelling, the infilling, the manifestation of the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had made to the disciples on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit, of course, came into the room where they were waiting as a rushing of a mighty wind, and tongues of fire fell on them, and they began to speak in other tongues. And of course, we know that God moved powerfully right here in this place, and I believe also online as well, and that dozens and dozens of people came to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just say, if you were not here last week, or if you have never asked the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, you did not miss out. You can do that today. And for those of us who have asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you are, and therefore we have access to the power that comes with the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Now, I don't want to scare you today. Nothing spooky or ooky is going to happen here, but we just want the Lord to do what He wants to do. Amen? So in chapter 3, we come upon this man. The scripture does not give him a name. We don't know his name, but historians tell me that he was about 40 years old when we meet him in chapter 3 of the book of Acts, and it says that he had been lame since birth. He'd never been able to walk. The scripture goes on to tell us that someone, and we don't know who because the scripture does not tell us, carries him to the gate of the temple every day in order for him to beg alms. Now, I want to park there for just a second, and I want you just to imagine what that must have been like for this young man. To not be able to walk, to not be able to make a living. In those days, very often, especially in the faith community, when someone was born with a disability, it was considered at that time that either they were unclean in some way, or that the sins of their fathers or fathers' fathers had been visited upon them. You remember when the disciples brought the blind boy to him, and the disciple asked, "Who sinned that this boy was born blind?" So this young man, or middle-aged man at this point, is living under that stigma. So not only does he have the stigma around him, he suffers what may have been the humiliation of someone having to carry him everywhere he went, including to the gate of the temple. Now, you might ask why he would come to the temple to beg every day. Well, I believe it's an indication that he was shrewd, he was smart. He could have gone to the market. He could have gone to the edge of the village. He could have stood by the gate of the city. But the scripture says that he went to the gate entering into the temple, the gate called Beautiful. This was indeed a beautiful gate, but it was also a popular gate. It was the one most often used by those who were going into the temple to worship or to bring their sacrifice. So he had the good sense to go into the gate that had the most foot traffic. Location, location, location. But he went to this gate, or he was taken to this gate, for the purpose of begging for alms, A-L-M-S. And alms simply mean charity. It is something that is given out of mercy or out of charity. So he came to appeal to the goodness, the good nature of the people that were going in and out of the temple. Now, another reason I call him shrewd was a part of the regular worship and rhythm of the Jews at that time, especially those who were active in the synagogue, was to demonstrate their devotion to God through three things: through the reading of the Torah, through worshiping at the temple, and through demonstrating charity. In other words, giving to those who were less fortunate to themselves. So this young man at least had enough savvy to sit at the gate of the temple and be a benefactor of the tenets of worship of the people at that time. But it's so interesting to me that this young man would come to the church, the dwelling place of God, the temple as it's called that time, not to find a job, not to be employed, not to be healed, but to beg for the mercy of those and the charity of those who were coming in and out. Based on what I know about our almighty, all-powerful God, it makes me wonder, why did he go just to beg for alms? Why didn't he go ask a priest to pray for him, or at least make a sacrifice on his behalf, so that if there was sin that was a part of his disability, that God would forgive him so that he might be cleansed and made whole. Now, I want to be very careful to stop here and say, I do not believe that those of us, and we all have differing abilities, but I don't believe that people who have disabilities or get sick necessarily are as a result of curse or sin. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just relating to you what was the cultural norm at the time. But I still find it interesting that he didn't go looking for healing. He didn't go looking for a change in his circumstance. He went looking for something to help him live in his circumstance. It reminds me of an old song that we used to sing, an old gospel song that says, Lord, you don't have to move the mountain. Just give me the strength to climb. Lord, don't take away the stumbling block, but lead me all around. Anybody ever heard that song? A few of you in here, yeah, maybe it's a Southern song. Lord, you don't have to move the mountain, but give me the strength to climb. And in the Baptist church, they go, Lord, don't take away the stumbling block, but lead me all around. It's a great song, and you can put a whole lot of emotion into it, but it implies something. It implies a state of mind that I'm okay with being where I am, and so all I need for you, God, to do is to give me what I need to stay in this circumstance. Well, I submit to you that that is not what God has for us. And the reason I can say that with confidence is because when Peter and John came along, Peter gives something to this young man that he was not expecting. This man was looking for an alms. He was looking for a handout. He was looking for a way to live because he couldn't work. And that was his expectation. But when Peter and John, fresh off of the Holy Spirit experience that they had in the upper room, and filled with the Holy Spirit, walk into the gate called Beautiful, Peter sees and John sees this man begging, and Peter stops. And he tells the man, look at me. That tells me that this man was so used to his circumstance, so accustomed to how he lived and where he lived and the rhythms of the way that he lived, that he wasn't really even paying attention as he begged. Because Peter had to say, look at me. And when the man looked at Peter, the scripture tells us that the man looked at Peter expecting to get something. We know that the man was expecting an alms, a handout. He was expecting silver or gold, a denarii, a day's wage for a slave. But Peter makes a bold proclamation in that moment that tells us something about what we should be expecting when we come to the house of God. Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none." I don't have what you're looking for, but that which I do have, I freely give you. And he says, "In the name of Jesus, walk." If you're not clapping, you missed it, so I'll give it one more pass. Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, having seen the tongues of fire fall down on them, having seen the multitudes speaking in various languages that are tongues in Acts chapter 2, having seen Jesus work miracles, having remembered that he walked on the water himself, knew the power and the value of what he was now carrying in him. You understand, Peter at one time walked beside the Holy Spirit, who it was embodied in the person of Jesus. But Jesus had told them that I have to go away, but don't worry, I won't leave you alone. When I go away, I'll send back the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with you. And then when Jesus came back after descending into hell and taking back the keys to death, hell, and the grave and appeared for 40 days on the earth, he told them, greater things than you've seen me do, you shall do. So therefore, go now and make disciples of all nations. And this is what's going to happen when you do. When you pray, the sick will be healed. If you take up any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. If a serpent bites you, it won't kill you. And if you pray in the name of Jesus, people will be healed. I want you to understand that Peter had the appropriate expectation of what happens when we come into the presence of God. This 40-year-old lame man who had been carried in his circumstance came to the right place, but he was expecting the wrong thing. My question to you is, are you the lame man or are you Peter? The lame man's expectation was based on his history, based on his circumstances, the things that his five senses could detect, the things he could see, hear, smell, and feel. He knew he was lame. That had been his reality. That was, here, let me mess with your popular theology. That was his truth. A lot is made of telling our truth. And there's nothing wrong with being authentic about ourselves, but I tell you what, I'm less interested in my truth than I am the truth of the Almighty God. My truth might give me a little bit of catharsis. God's truth will deliver me. So this lame man came to the right place expecting the wrong thing based on his experience in the natural. Peter came to the same place but had a different expectation because he was basing his expectation on the supernatural. He was looking at what happens in the spirit, not just what happens in the natural. So which are you? Are you like the lame man who has expectation of God based on your circumstances? Are you like those old saints that used to sing that song, "Lord, you don't have to move the mountain, but give me the strength to climb"? Or are you like Peter, who believes in the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ask or imagine? Are your expectations based on the one who has all authority over everything? Are your expectations based on the one who is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega? Are your expectations based on the one who's made all things and who is ruler of all things? Which one are you today? Where are your expectations? Have you been in your circumstance so long that you have no hope or expectation of real change? Have you been asking God to give you strength to climb the mountain? Well, I got a tip for you today. My Bible tells me in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verse 23, that you don't have to ask for the strength to climb the mountain. You can speak to the mountain and command it to be cast in the sea. Mark 11, 23 says that if you shall say to yonder mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and doubt not in your heart, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. I don't know about you, I'd rather the mountain get out of my way than me to have to climb it. Where's your expectation? Hallelujah. What is your level of expectation? Are you asking for blessing to sustain a situation, or are you asking for miracles? I'm gonna go out on a limb this morning. Pastor Mick and I talked about this sermon and the content of this sermon a lot over this last week, so he's fully aware of what I'm saying here today. I believe not only that God can work miracles, but that he works them in this day and age. The Bible says he's a God that doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So if he worked miracles 2,000 plus years ago in biblical times, if he doesn't change, then why wouldn't he work miracles today? Now, I understand this is a provocative and even controversial statement that many believe, even so-called experts and theologians believe that miracles were only for the biblical times, or that there are only special dispensations that act that happen in special times with special people, and that there are these unusual occurrences. But I believe that God can work a miracle in your life this very day. That's the God I say serve. And let me just say to the naysayers, you don't have to agree with me, but you do have to deal with what the Word of God says, so you can take it up with the Lord. But this is what I would say to you as your sister in the Lord, because I'm on your side. We're walking this thing together. If I were you, I wouldn't bet against God. I wouldn't want to be in the boat of those who limit what God can do, because he has a way of showing us what his power is. Can I get an amen? Amen. Miracles are not a historical artifact. God is still able and willing to perform the miraculous in your life through his Holy Spirit. So when Peter prayed for this lame man, he said declaratively, by the power that's in the name of Jesus, walk. He didn't qualify it. He didn't disclaim it. He didn't ask for indemnity. He declared what he knew to be fact. How did Peter know? He knew it because he had experienced it. He had seen Jesus turn water to wine. He had seen him heal the lepers. He had seen him raise the boy from the dead. He had seen the lame walk and the blind see and the deaf hear and demons being cast out by Jesus. And then, as I already said, he had experienced being out in the storm and Jesus coming to him in the storm. I think that's such an awesome story, because so often we are trying to get to Jesus when we're going through troubled times. But that story tells me that when you're in the midst of the storm and life is throwing you around and beating you behind, Jesus will walk on the impossible to get to you. And Peter had so much faith in the power of Jesus, he said, Lord, commend me to come out there with you. And Jesus said in one word, come. And we know that Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water, and he was doing great until he started looking at the circumstances. We start sinking when our expectations are the basis, are based upon our circumstances. So this is the same one that when he saw the man, said, by the power that's in the name of Jesus, walk, because he had experienced it. He knew it to be true. And I stand here before you today in one of the best dresses I got today, in my high heels, my feet hurting just for you, because I believe in miracles too. And it's not just because they're in the Bible. I would believe them if they were only in the Bible and never happened to me, but they have happened in my life. Can I testify for just a second? You may have heard this because I like to tell some of the same stories over and over, but I know God can work miracles because it was a part of my lifestyle. I was raised by a Bible-believing, church-going, Holy Spirit-filled, preaching woman of God, and she prayed for us every day of our lives, and she expected God to do what the Bible said that he would do. Now, we were growing up lower middle class, which means we were not hungry, we were not naked, we had a home that we owned, but we didn't have any extras. I didn't get the latest fashions. I got them when they went on sale two seasons later. Well, and I now understand that my mother did not have the resources to run us to the doctor every time something went wrong. I just thought it was her great faith. I think it was also practical. Because when I had an earache, what she would do is she would go get the oil, and I don't recommend you do this, but she'd pour oil in my ear, oh my Lord. And she would speak to me and lay hands on my ear and say, be healed in the name of Jesus, and my earache would go away. I remember the time when I had stomach aches and I'd go to get up out of bed, mommy, my stomach hurts, and she would lay hands and read a scripture, that Mark 11:23, her favorite scripture, and say, whatever the cause of this is, God, I ask that you heal it. And my stomach ache, while she was praying, would go away. I remember the time my sister was born with crooked feet. The long bones in her feet were curved, and she was not able to wear normal shoes, and she was told that she would never be able to wear normal shoes. And my mother, one night, I won't tell you the whole story, but she came in, got us up out of the bed after she had been at a church service, and she asked my sister, do you believe God can heal you? And I think my sister just wanted to go back to bed, so she said yes, so there wouldn't be as much trouble. But I remember my mother sitting my sister down, having her hold her legs out in front of her with those feet curved, and my mother pointed at the feet and said, straighten in the name of Jesus. And I, with my own eyes, watched my sister's feet straighten up. We went back to the same shoe store that we had been going to all my sister's life to get these specially ordered orthopedic shoes that were made to fit the shape of her feet. And the machine that they used to measure her feet, because she was young and still growing, her foot wouldn't even fit in it anymore. To this day, my sister wears very normal shoes. I remember the time when I developed a rash, and we went to doctor after doctor, and nobody could tell us what was causing the rash, and no treatment would cause the rash to go away, and it was creeping up my face, and they were afraid that if it got to my eyes that it might affect my vision. And finally, out of desperation, my mother then slathered me with oil one night and said, do you believe God can heal you? And I was a little girl, maybe 5 or 6 years old, and I said, yes, mommy, I believe God can heal me. And she slathered my face with oil and said, I rebuke whatever this is in the name of Jesus. Well, I will report to you that nothing happened in that moment. She sent me on back to bed, and I went to sleep after I wiped all that oil off my face. But when I woke up the next morning, not one bump was there, and it's never come back. That's why I can stand here. I have seen God perform miracles. I know that he is more than able. Now, does he perform miracles every time we ask him to? No. I can't explain why. I don't know why he works some miracles, and at other times he does not step in. You all know my beautiful daughter, Lindley. I'm so grateful for her. What you may or may not know is that I conceived two other children that didn't make it to this earth. The first pregnancy ended so early that I didn't even make it to the first prenatal doctor's appointment, but the second pregnancy lasted until the day before my second trimester. I was planning to tell my boss the next day that I was pregnant because I had made it through that risky first trimester, and I began to miscarry the day before. And I remember when I went to the doctor, she said, I'm so sorry, you're going to lose this baby. But she could still detect a heartbeat. It was faint and it was slow. And she gave me the option of facilitating the process. She goes, we can go ahead and we can take care of this. And because there was a heartbeat, I interpreted that there's hope. And so I said, no, I'm going to let my body do what it knows how to do, and I'm going to leave room for God to work. And I called my husband, and I'll never forget that day. Our babysitter was there with Lindley out in the living room, and my husband and I went back in our bedroom, and we pleaded with God, save this baby. Let us have this child. We wanted another child. We spent hours back there seeking the face of God, crying out before God. I don't know how long we were back there. What I do know is by the time we stopped praying, it was dark. And we went out and we relieved the babysitter and spent the evening playing with our beautiful 2-year-old daughter. And I miscarried anyway. And I don't know why. I don't know why. But I still trust God. I don't know why my mother contracted cancer and died at the age of 55. This powerful woman that I talk so much about, that as I just told you, demonstrated the power of God in her life. I've seen countless people be healed through her. It wasn't her, it was the power of the Holy Spirit working through her. So when she was diagnosed with cancer and it got worse and worse, I was convinced that she would be healed. Why would she not? So many people had been healed through her ministry. I had no expectation that she would not survive this disease. And when she died, I was devastated. I was perplexed. I remember the first thing I said to God was, "This was not supposed to happen. I don't understand this." And I was mad at God. I didn't doubt his existence. I didn't even doubt his ability. But I didn't like his ways very much. Like, if this is how you treat your ministers, people who give their lives for you, I don't want any part of this. And I couldn't seek God, and I couldn't even really pray, but I knew he was still there, and I was a little bit scared of him, so I acknowledged him. But I didn't want to be anywhere near him because he didn't do the miracle that I expected him to do. But this is what I've come to learn through that experience. I went through the grieving spirit experience, as many of us do, especially when we lose a parent, when we lose any loved one in an untimely fashion. And I finally got past my own emotional response and began to seek God again. And this is what I learned, sisters and brothers, that God's ability to perform in your life has nothing to do with your perception of God. He's good whether you believe him or not. That's worth a praise. He is all powerful whether you acknowledge him or not. God is still God, no matter what happens. He was still God for 40 years as that young man was brought to the gate called Beautiful to beg alms. We have to learn how to separate our image and idea of God from our circumstances. God is not only good when things go our way. I got news for you. God is good when nothing goes our way. God is good when we didn't get the job. God is good when the healing doesn't happen. God is good when the marriage doesn't get fixed. God is good when children don't come back home. I still believe that God is good even though my mother is now rejoicing with the angels in the presence of God. Even though she didn't live to see me get married or see my daughter, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God is good. And now I understand what Job meant after he was a righteous man after God's own heart and was tagged by God to be attacked by the enemy because of his righteousness, not because of any sin, and lost everything he had but his life and his wife, and his friends ridiculed him, and his wife told him, "Why don't you just go on and curse God and die?" And Job said, in the midst of unthinkable, unimaginable calamity and devastation and disappointment, "Though he may slay me, yet will I trust him." I began to understand that God is who he is because of his character, not because of what he does in my life. That's why when I come up and I ask us to praise the Lord, it's not based on how I feel. Half the time when I come in here, I'm as tired as you are. Half the time when I come in here, I'm as grumpy as you are. But what I know is that I serve an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-good, all-compassionate, all-loving, all-able God, and he's worthy of my praise whether he does anything in my life or not. I came to understand that he is still God. He's still worthy of my praise. And this is what I now understand. Even facing disappointments, that God is faithful. He really is faithful. I thought I couldn't live through my adult life without my mom. I thought I needed my mommy in order to be prepared for marriage, and that I needed my mommy to learn how to raise my own daughter. And here's the thing, he didn't keep my mother here on earth, but he provided everything that I needed anyway, because he's a faithful, faithful God. So my expectations of God are high because he has shown himself mighty. And in case you don't know it, we serve an almighty, all-loving, all-powerful God. He can do anything. There is no limit to his love. There's no limit to his influence. There's no limit to his ability. But sometimes we lower our expectations to meet our circumstances. We want to avoid disappointment or hurt or frustration or disillusionment. We try to manage our expectations of God like we manage expectations of coworkers in a workplace. But the problem is, your coworker or your superior or your boss doesn't have a heaven or a hell. It's not the great and sovereign one. We don't have to manage our expectations with God. Let's go back and find out why. You see in Acts chapter 3 that when the lame man was healed, when God stepped out on the power that had been given him through the Holy Spirit, it opened up a whole new door. Because the scripture goes on to say that the man jumped up and was jumping and praising, and that Peter went on then to begin to preach a sermon about the identity of Jesus, about the glory of God shown through Jesus, about Jesus being the source of life because he rose from the dead. Peter proclaimed that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets, and because of this, admonished those listening to repent. He said in verse 19, "Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." And the scriptures tell us that many were converted that day. So here's the thing. Miracles sometimes are not about us. In fact, they're rarely, if ever, about us. Miracles are not for our benefit, although we do benefit from them. You see, God performs miracles to glorify his own name and to reveal the identity of his son and to reveal his power. So if God has not performed the miracle that you're asking about, first of all, I admonish you, I encourage you, don't stop believing. Second of all, understand that it's God's decision. He's the one that decides whether he's going to do it or not. I don't have a horse in that race. I don't know what to tell you about that because I'm not God and I can't even fathom him. But this is what I can tell you, that my experience shows me that it's a good bet to believe in God. It's a good bet to expect from him, because the scripture tells us that when we ask in the name of Jesus and doubt not in our hearts that it shall be done for us, that it delights the Father to give children his kingdom. God is waiting to work in our lives. It might not be the way you thought he was going to work, but when he does, it's going to be awesome. I don't know if you're one of those who God hasn't moved yet. I don't know. I don't have that answer for you. But this is what I do know, that he's able. I do know that he's loving. I do know that his grace is sufficient. I do know that his strength is perfected in our weaknesses. I do know that his love, he loves us with an everlasting love. I do know that his plan for you is for good and not for evil, that he has given you a hope and a future. I do know that demons tremble at the name of Jesus. I do know that when we submit to God and resist the enemy, that he must flee. I do know that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. I do know that his loving kindness is better than life. I do know that my praises create a throne in my heart for God to sit down and reign. I do know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I do know that even when I'm hungry, even when I suffer lack, even when I don't have what I need, that it's not going to crush me, it's not going to kill me, because I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I do know that when it looks like I've lost the battle, I don't have to worry because of the work of the cross of Jesus Christ, because he took my sin and he took my stain, and because he died on the cross, and because he went down and faced the enemy himself. himself and took back the sting of death, and he took back the keys to hell, and he rose again, and now he has ascended and sits on the right hand of the Father, and he is my personal advocate, praying on my behalf every day before the Father. I do know that the battle might be lost, but the war is won, sisters and brothers. The war is won. Hallelujah. If you dare, why don't you go on and praise God? Praise him on credit. Give him an advance. Give him an advance that he's good for his word. Give him an advance. God, you haven't done it yet, but I know you will do it. God, I don't know why it happened, but I know you're gonna make it work for my good. Go on and give him a praise in advance. He's good for the credit. He's good for it. As a matter of fact, it says his praises will cause him to move on our behalf. Lord, I thank you for the breakthrough. Lord, I thank you for the healing. Lord, I thank you for the deliverance. Lord, I thank you for the strength. Lord, I thank you for the peace of mind. Lord, I thank you that you're bringing me out of depression. Lord, I thank you that you're delivering me from anxiety. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you because I expect it of you. I know you can do it. I know you can do it, God. Oh, Lord, and we give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. Hallelujah. 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 In case you haven't noticed, sisters and brothers, KCC is in the midst of a revival. Have you noticed? I love every one of the previous leaders, and what was supposed to happen in those seasons happened, and I'm grateful for that. But what I do know is right now, right up in here, God is doing a miraculous work in us. I'm here to inform you, in case you didn't know it, that he has troubled the water, and it is time for us to get in. Amen. He's moving. It's no mistake that so many were brought to the Lord 2 weeks ago, and so many were filled with the Holy Spirit this week. I believe the natural progression then is for you to walk in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit that you now have in you. So here is my invitation. What are you waiting on God to do? What miracle do you need in your life? My expectation is that he can and will do it. So this is what I'd like for you to do. I want to go back to the lame man at the gate called Beautiful as the example. When Peter told him, in the name of Jesus, walk, the lame man says he reached for Peter and stood up. He acted. He responded to the word of God. I want to challenge you today to reach toward God and get up today. If you are waiting, if you are believing for a miracle, if you can expect that God can work in your life, I want to join my faith with yours. And if that's you, I don't want us to take a whole lot of time because time is getting short. I want you to get out of your seat and come on down if you feel comfortable to the altar. If you're waiting for a miracle of God, don't hesitate. I believe God is available here to perform a miracle. Oh, thank you, Lord. There's far more than that. Raise your expectation to match his faithfulness, y'all. Raise your expectation to match his kindness. Come on, raise your expectation to match his ability. Raise your expectation to match his promises. Come on, raise your expectations to match his power. I see you coming from the top. I'll wait on you. Come on down. Come on down. I believe the Lord. Don't let the fear. I hear the enemy saying to somebody, you've done this before. I don't care if you've taken steps 10 times before. I encourage you to act today. When the Lord speaks, harden not your heart. And come on down as an act of faith that God is going to move in the miraculous on your life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I hear the Lord saying, if you've been believing for someone, been praying for someone, that God needs to work in somebody else's life, you come down and stand in proxy on behalf of that person or that family that you're believing for in the name of Jesus. I'll tell you right now, my family is expecting a miracle from God. A member of my family is facing what seems to be an impossible situation, and we're running out of time, but my expectation is high. Will you join me in raising your expectation of what God can do? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, look at your children. Look at your children coming down in faith. Show yourself mighty. Show yourself awesome in their lives. If that's you, it's not too late. I'm going to ask the music team and Brent to sing, and I want you to just begin to cry out to God. Declare who he is. Declare what he is able to do, and then we'll pray after this song. Thank you, Jesus.
Promise keep a light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle work. Promise keep a light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
God is a way maker. He is a miracle worker. He is a promise keeper. That is who he is. That means that's how he functions. He can't help it because that is who he is. I heard in my spirit the Lord say, for some of us, stop paying so much attention to your circumstance. You're given the circumstance power because you're focused on it. And I'm not talking about walking in denial. If the doctor has told you to take the medicine till you don't have to take it anymore. But I'm saying put your attention, just like that lame man turned from his state, his circumstances, and looked at the man of God. I want you in your spirit to turn from the circumstances. Stop Googling everything. Stop going to WebMD. And begin to go to your Bible and find out what God has to say about you. Amen. And I believe as you begin to focus on what God's promises are you are going to see a difference in your life. Now I want you to expect it. I want you to expect it. And when it happens, even if it's happening right now, I want you to tell folk. Share the testimony. Don't keep it a secret. Post it. Send an email into the church so that we can rejoice with you. I fully expect God to work miracles in your life. I'm believing that even now, if you're in pain, that God is removing the pain. I believe that even now, those who feel discombobulated, God is giving you clarity even now in the name of Jesus. I'm believing that peace is overtaking hearts even now. In the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you that you are indeed a way maker. You are a miracle worker. Thank you that you are a promise keeper. That is who you are. Now, God, I fully expect that when your word goes forth, that signs and wonders follow. So, Father, I just thank you in advance for the signs and the wonders. I thank you, Lord, for loosening yokes, for breaking chains. I thank you for healing, Lord. I thank you for breaking, Lord, the cycle of infirmity in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for peace breaking out in our hearts and peace breaking out in our homes and peace breaking out on our jobs. I thank you, Father, that now that we have the Holy Spirit within us, that we can walk in the power that comes with the Holy Spirit. If you've not asked the Holy Spirit to come into your heart, to fill you, take this moment now. If you've not asked the Lord to be Lord of your life, Jesus to be Lord of your life, I don't want to be remiss. I would be remiss if I didn't take the moment to do this. If the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that he's the Son of God and that he rose again, that you will be saved. Those are the steps. Coming to church is not enough. Being a good person is not enough. It's confessing with your mouth and believing with your heart the work of Jesus on the cross. And so I just want to take a second to do that. I'm going to ask everyone if you will repeat after me, particularly for those that have never done it and you're ready to do it today. Say it from your heart. These are my words, but you speak them to the Lord from your heart. Everyone repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came to this earth. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again. And I believe you sit at the right hand of the Father. I'm so sorry for trying to live without you. Forgive me of every sin. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Be my Savior. In the name of Jesus. And Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I give you free reign in my life, in my heart, and in my mind, in the name of Jesus. If you prayed that prayer, you are saved. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. I know some of us came from the traditions where we like to run up and down aisles and roll up and down, but you don't have to do that to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says all you got to do is ask. And so it's happened. The last thing I'm gonna ask you to do is you go back to your seat. I want you to do what the lame man did. The scripture says that when he took Peter's hand, Peter helped him up, and it says the Lord strengthened his ankles so that he could stand. I speak strength over you so that you can walk in your healing. And then it says that he jumped and rejoiced and praised God in the temple. So if you believe that God is working in your life, as you go back to your seat, go on and praise him. You can jump and dance if you want to and believe that God has done it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we do one more time, Waymaker? One more time.
Waymaker, miracle. promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, and that is who you are.
Tell the Lord who he is. Tell him who he is.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
That is who you are. That is who you are.
Thank you, Father.
That is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Father, we thank you for the special time with you. We thank you that your work is yea and amen. We come against the device of the enemy that would try to convince us that this wasn't real, that it's not gonna happen. I stop the lies of the enemy. I break them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that who you have set free, Lord, is free indeed this day. I declare it to be so in the name of Jesus.